Hebrews chapter 3 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1293. We'll be reading this morning verses 7 through 13. We'll read these verses responsively. Take note of the 13th verse, the text verse. And shall we stand, please, all of us, standing for the reading of God's Word? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And now together on the text verse. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And may we pray. Lord God, we are thankful for this day. Our hearts yearn for the Lord's Day. And it seems that Sundays are always so very, very special. Thank you for our church. Thank you for this great body of people. These are friends in Christ. And we pray your blessing upon all who are here. Bless especially the folks who are strangers to us today. May they not remain as strangers. Touch every heart. Move in every life as thy word is preached. And bless, we pray, our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on the hardening process. It says, be careful lest your hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I'm not going to preach, as it were, the gospel this morning. I'm not going to preach on salvation. I'm not going to preach on heaven or hell or any of the basic, even fundamental doctrines. But I believe I can really help you this morning, honestly. I don't want to miss anything in life. I don't want to miss a bit of it. My travels, I've flown in the month of January. I flew over 27,000 miles in the month of January alone. My journeys took me to Anchorage, Alaska. I did not miss a single ice-covered tree. My journeys took me to San Diego, California. I tried not to miss a single petal on any flower that crossed my path or by whom I walked. My journeys took me three times to southern Florida. It's January and just worked out that way. I just give God the praise that he miraculously worked it out that way. But I did not miss a single leaf of a palm tree by which I passed. I'm amazed at how much we miss of life. We travel by it, never see it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take advantage of all of it, and I'm going to see it all while I'm here. And the truth is, this morning, a lot of you folks are missing something in life that I have not missed, nor do I miss, nor do I plan to miss. And I could help you this morning to have a richer life if you will listen very carefully. Father, bless our discussion today to the strengthening and the enriching of the lives of these precious people, my people, thy people. So help me to help them. But Father, I can't be a help unless they listen. Their minds are wandering. I cannot be a help. But I believe that you, through me, can change some people this morning. And I pray it be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed how that older people go to one of two extremes? An older person usually is very, very sweet or very, very difficult. Older people are usually very, very loving or very, very independent. Older people are usually very unselfish or very selfish. There's hardly any middle ground. Now, I have an advantage that you don't have. I see this hardening process. I see this softening process. I see it firsthand. I counsel with them. I know them. I try to help them. And I decided to find the causes. Someday I may be old. I don't think ever will be. But someday I may be old. You know what? I don't want to grow old and be a difficult old man. I don't want to grow old and be an independent, unaffectionate, unloving older person. I don't want to grow old and be possessed with selfishness when I get older. Now, seriously speaking, everybody in this room who lives a normal lifespan is going to be old someday. And here's what happens. I decided to find the causes, and I want to share with you today what happens. Why? Here's an old lady, and she's sweet, loving, precious, affectionate, unselfish. And here's another old lady, and she is an old crab. And is your mother-in-law, you said? Now, I decided that I wanted to find out, because I want to enjoy my years as I get older. Somebody said one time, well, I'm just not an affectionate person. But it didn't start off that way. Human nature is basically impressionable. No child is hard. Every child has its windows open toward the morning. Every child is plastic. Every child indulges in romance and dreams and sees visions. Every child is capable of tears and of laughter. Now, if you grow hard, it's because somewhere down the line, something happened to you, because by nature, a child, listen, I can take the hardest adult in this room this morning, and I can take you back to a time when you were soft and plastic and emotional. Every one of you. I can take the worst Scrooge in this room today, and I can take you back in your life to a time where you were tender and emotional and soft. I can also take you back, not only to the time where you were impressionable, tender, soft, where tears came easily and laughter came easily and excitement was readily found. I can take you back there. But I can also take you back to a time when you began to fight against tenderness. I like what you said, Mayor. This is sort of emotional. I like that. I like it. I like what the trio sang. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus. Now I want to keep my heart, is this a word? Stirrable. I want to be able to that choir special this morning. Boy, I loved it. Did you hear those words? I loved it. I want to keep my heart where a beautiful song will still stir me. The Bible said when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And that word move there in the Greek is he was emoted. He was emotional with compassion. And he was stirred. Now, when you were a child, you were stirred.
maybe you sang. And I'm talking about the Scrooge now. I'm talking about the hardest woman in this room. I'm talking about the person who is the last to come to tears. And the person who feels the least emotion. You haven't always been that way. There came a time in your life when you began to fight against responding and against emotion and tenderness. You weren't always that way. There was a time when you used to sing,
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the master came that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house.
Thank you. And now, you used to be that way. See, you used to say, I want to ride the horsey. And your daddy would put you on his knees, or granddaddy in the our case. And why a little horsey, London town, why a little horsey going downtown, why a little horsey, don't you fall down, little girl. And you say, I'll ride a horsey again. And at our house, for example, when our kids were little, we always played a game. I'd put Becky, for example, on one side of the room, and I'd be on the other side. And she'd close her eyes, and I'd close my eyes, and we'd get on our knees, hands and knees, and pucker like that. And so we'd go what we thought was toward each other, and we would have puckered, and we hoped that we'd kiss. And I kissed the lamp and the wall, and I mean, you used to be that way, too. You see, by nature, a child is lovable. By nature, a child, I found out the first night each child was home in the hospital. By nature, a child is moved to tears easily. And by nature, a child loves to laugh. Now, everybody in this room came to who is no longer that way. But, you know, I thank God I'm still that way. I thank God I can still be moved and feel emotion and feel joy and delight. And I thank God that I can still respond. When you hit my knee, it kicks still. And I thank God for it. But some of you not that way, but you change when you started to fighting against it. You came to a place where it was difficult. And if you could just have kept it. I have a chapter in one of my books. I think it's one of the most important chapters in any of my books. It's called Be a Childish Juvenile Adult. And in that chapter I say, when a child becomes an adolescent, he should not substitute adolescence for childhood. He should add adolescence to childhood. When an adolescent becomes an adult, he should not substitute adulthood for adolescence. He should add adulthood to adolescence, which was already added to childhood, which means that every person ought to be a childish juvenile adult. That means we can still enjoy the things we enjoyed as a child. And we can still enjoy the things we enjoyed as teenagers. And we can enjoy the things that adults enjoy, but not with a suave, demure, have-seen-it-all kind of air, but with an expectancy. I mean, there's a big world out there. There are trees and flowers and sunrises and sunsets and rainbows and clouds and excitement and joy and experiences and wonder out there. And if I can walk through life with the wonder of a little child and walk through life with excitement of a teenager and walk through life with the serenity of an adult, think what a good time I can have. Oh, but the tragedy is a teenager doesn't want to act like a child anymore. He doesn't want to have the enjoyment. Listen, you go by the beginner department sometime and you listen to Mrs. McKinney or Mrs. Rice. Sometimes I hear Mrs. Rice all the way down to the pastor's study. And Mrs. Rice is a middle-aged lady. Well, there are no middle-aged ladies. She's a young lady who's lived in the mid-years. But she's up there. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you this morning? Oh, thank God that I can still do that. I thank God I haven't gotten to place yet where, well, that's a childish way to act. Little children have more fun than adults do. I thank God I can still enjoy and be impressionable. And I'm glad I can still sing in Bible school.
My cup runneth over with joy. And my cup runneth over with joy. I find it easy to pray and to sing all the day. And my cup runneth over with joy. But my cup is all empty and dry. You don't look so good either. When my cup is all empty and dry, I find it so hard to pray and to sing all the day. When my cup is all empty and dry. But my cup runneth over with joy. I'm glad I can still do that with a kid. And I'm glad I can still enjoy it. I say, boys and girls, do you know who I am? Yeah. Who am I? One of the boys said, don't you know? Oh, I'm glad I've still got a little boy in me. I love that statement my oldest daughter made to me when she wrote me a little note the other day. I love it. She said, somewhere inside this 32-year-old body, there's a little golden-haired girl that still worships her daddy. And somewhere inside this 57-year-old body, there's still little Jackie Boy Hiles, who enjoys the same things he used to enjoy when he was a little boy. And somewhere inside this 57-year-old body, there's a teenager who can still, as I did a year or so ago, suit up for the football game and not tell anybody about it and get out on the field and run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. Thank God both teams knew about it. And while I was running that ball back, nobody in the stands knew. Nobody knew it was me. Everybody thought it was making a touchdown, our homecoming football game. And I was number 17. I had two awful thoughts while I had that ball. One awful thought was, what if I have a heart attack? I called my son David. I said, so Dave, what I done? He said, Dad, did you have a coronary unit in the end zone? And all of a sudden, the other awful thought hit me. What if one of their players forgets? But I'm so thankful. Listen, you're missing. You're missing so much of life. You know why? Because the deceitfulness of sin has hardened you. And you're getting hard. And the truth is, you don't have to get that way. You can be tender, and I still thank God. I can, as I did on the airplane. Little boy misbehaving on the airplane. Nobody could make him be quiet. And he had a little car in his hand, and Dr. Hiles got in the aisle and sat down in the aisle, and I went, ooga! Ooga, that's what cars do. Ooga! And I scooted that car, and I guess for 30 minutes to an hour, he and I rolled that car up down the aisle to each other. Now, he said, you enjoy it? And listen, boy, I brought back memories when I used to have little cars and roll them and so forth. Enjoyed the fire out of it. I thank God I can still enjoy it. I thank God I can still walk to my mother's bed and say, I love you, mother. I thank God I never became a teenager the teenage years where I couldn't say it. I thank God that from child, I never did get to place where I couldn't look at my mother and say, I love you. You know what? Mother doesn't know much anymore. She thought I was my daddy Friday night. And she thought I was Dr. Streeter last night. And I don't mind being my daddy, but boy, to be Dr. Streeter tears a fire out of me. But I am. But her mind is failing. But you know, I can always get her mind one way. I walk in, I say, do you know who this is? And she'll say, oh, you're a good man, Dr. Streeter. You do so much for so many people. And I'll say, this is not Dr. Streeter. This is your son, and I love you. And always, immediately, a smile comes across the little toothless mouth, and she reaches out of the cover and grabs my hand. Now, she may lapse back and not know what's going on within 10 seconds, but that first impression, when I said, this is your son, and I love you, I'm so thankful that if she precedes me in death, I won't have to say, well, she knew I loved her. I never told her I didn't. And she knew I loved her. We just had other ways to express it. You're lying. You know better than that. Oh, let me tell you something. The hardening. Process it. Thank God. I can still be happy as I read. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. I thank God my heart pounds fast, but faster when I read. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I thank God I can still leap in my heart with joy when a group gets up and sings, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm thankful that I'm as excited right now about preaching as I was 37 years ago when I preached my first time. I'm so thankful that this sermon excites me as much this morning. I look forward to it. And I wanted to say to the choir, sir, hurry up and get through. It's time for the preaching. And I'm so glad I'm excited about that, as I was the first time as a little 19-year-old lad. I stood up and preached to the first congregation I ever preached to in my life. It hasn't grown callous. And there's no hardening of the spiritual arteries set in. And there's always the response and the excitement and the thing. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because when I came to that place in my life where I decided that I was going to resist emotion and resist response, I decided not to do it. Now here's what happens. Hear me carefully. God does not allow us in any area of our lives to stand still. You never stay where you are. In your health, you never stay where you are. You either take care of your body and grow stronger, or you don't take care of your body and grow weaker. In your mind, the doctor said, you've got to get your mother up. She's got to get stronger. Now, she can't stay the same. She'll either get stronger by getting up and eating, or she'll get weaker by not getting up. She'll not stay the same. And you can't stay in any area of your life, physically or mentally or emotionally. You either grow or you deteriorate. You go forward or you go backward. Remember the story of the parables? The parable of the talents in the book of 25th of Matthew? God gave to a man one talent. He gave to one man two talents. He gave one man five talents. The fellow had five talents, went out and made five more talents, which is money. It's not talent of singing. And so with the talent of money, a talent was like a dollar. And he brought back 10 talents. He made five more. The fellow that God had two talents, he brought back 4 talents. He made 2 more. The fellow that had 1 talent, he brought back 1 talent and said, you're a hard taskmaster, so I buried this one and kept it lest I lost it. I didn't take a chance on losing it. I have the 1 talent. And God said, take the talent away from him and give it to the fellow that had the 10 talents. You see, our method is take away from the fellow that works and give to the loafer. God said, no, take away from the loafer and give to the guy that works. Our method is reward slothfulness and reward laziness. God's method is you go up, you go down. If you don't increase, you decrease. You never stay where you are. There's a wonderful verse in John 1, chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now I want to teach you something. Listen carefully. Somebody said, Brother Howes, you think the heathen that don't ever hear about Jesus will die and spend eternity without Christ? Listen carefully. God gives some light to every man that lives. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Every time you look at the stars at night, God's preaching you a sermon. God's saying, here I am, look at me. Who could have made this? And so here's a fellow who'd never heard Jesus. He's never seen that book. He's never heard about heaven, never heard about hell. But he does have some light. What light? The stars. And Brother John, you're a heathen, Brother John, and I'm a heathen too. But we both look at the stars at night, and I look up and I say, John, see those things up there?
Yes.
We live now in the jungle somewhere, and I bet you somebody made those. What do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I say, I don't think those things just popped up there. How could you think that?
It just happened.
Now, what happened? God gave us both the same light. Now, if he doesn't act on his light, God won't give me more light. If I act on my light, the same light he gave him, he'll give me more light. What'll he do? One of these days he'll send an airplane over to drop some gospel tracts out on our little village, and you won't get one. God'll see to it. One day he'll send a missionary. What happened? He didn't act on his light. Missionary comes, he'll try to kill him. Missionary comes, I'll listen to him. Why? Because nobody ever stands still. God gives, listen, that's why some of you people never, never grow. You don't use what you got. Thank you, John. Do you know whatever success I've had You know what's caused it? God gave me a little bit back yonder years ago, a very little, and I used it as best I could for him. I did. I invested it. And God said, okay, well, Hiles, he just used what I gave him. I'll give him some more. And he gave me a little more, and I used it for him. And he said, I'll give him some more. He gave me some more. I used it for him. And God said, I'll give you some more. He gave me some more. I used it for him. And God said, if you don't use what God has given you, God won't give you any more. And that's one reason why you don't have any response. That's one reason why you don't use the emotion God's given you. That's why there's no tenderness while you talk, and no tenderness between you and your children. There's no tenderness in your family. Your parents go with knowing you love them, but never get to hear it. And they know you care, but they never hear, I love you. Let me tell you something, folks. You weren't made that way. You were made to say, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. Give me some sugar. Give me a kiss. Jacqueline. My granddaughter, Cindy and Jack's little girl, never leaves my office or never comes in without saying, want a hug, want a kiss. Isn't it tragic that someday, maybe, if she doesn't keep on nurturing that and using that God gives her, someday she might become a hard person with no, I won't love and I love yous and no, you're a good papa and none of that. Isn't that awful? Everybody that's ever gotten hard and irresponsive, and everybody that's ever been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, it happened because there came a time in your life where you did not use the emotion God gave you. You did not use the expression God gave you. You did not use the excitement God gave you. You did not use the thrift. Let me give you a verse of Scripture over here. Listen to this. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the truth, the love of the truth. Notice that. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God said, okay, I gave some truth. One fellow said, I'll act on it. I'll give you more truth. I'll act on that. I'll give you more truth. I'll act on that. I'll give you more truth. But the other person said, God said, I'll give you truth. The other person said, I don't believe it. And God said, okay, I'll pull the drape down and you won't get any truth. God gives truth to those who act on truth. And God gives light to those who act on light. And God gives knowledge to those who act on knowledge. And God gives love to those who act on love. You know, I thank God. When I read this book, there's always a spotlight on it. Always is. Because God knows I love it. And yet, there are people in this room this morning that God, the Bible, you studied the Bible a little bit, and you didn't believe all of it, didn't act on it, didn't do anything about it, and God pulled a curtain over the Bible. And now you read the same Bible I read, but for me, there's a spotlight. For you, there's a curtain drawn over it. You look through a glass darkly, and I look through a light brightly. And why? Because I'm glad that when I come to the prayer closet, I can still rejoice. I'm glad, sweet hour, that's the song my mother sang the other day. She asked me to sing it for her. You never heard a song chopped up in your life like that one was. But I'm grateful. My mother still to this day, 96 years of age and lying on what may be her deathbed, she still sings, sweet hour, prayer. Yesterday I went beside her. Earlene said, Mother, this is Jack. She said, no, it's Dr. Streeter. No, Mother, this is Jack. This is your son, the one who comes to say, I love you, and you say, I love you back. And a smile came across her face, and she said, praise the Lord. I'm so glad I can still praise him. But that's why prayer is no fun to you. You didn't enjoy it while you had it and didn't take advantage of it. But there's a way that you can pray. And look, if you feel like saying amen, say amen. Don't suppress it. Say it. If you like saying, praise the Lord, say it. If a tear finds its way, don't, you ladies, God bless, here's where you are. Don't do it. Let her flow. I know. Some of you got so much goo on your face, by the time the tear got to your chin, it'd be a little mud ball like a snowball. But you're missing so much. Hey! There's a wonderful world out there. There's a wonderful God up there. There's a wonderful book right here. And there's a tremendous life to live. Don't stifle and become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. May I say three things? Don't check it. Don't check it. You feel a tear swelling up in your eye. Let her drip. She's with the hounds. My nose will run. Let her run. You'll be so much richer for it. But she said with the hounds, I just didn't grow up that way. Okay, then force it. Now hold it. I don't say force him, force feeling. You feel it, but you don't show it. Force the showing of it. If you feel something, make yourself say it. If you say, well, Brother Hiles, I love my mother, but I never have said it. Okay, if you love her, say it. Listen, I said something the other day that is so vital. Did you know that hypocrisy is not only saying what you don't feel? Hypocrisy is not saying what you do feel. Person says it and doesn't feel it, he's a hypocrite. But a person feels it and doesn't say it. Hypocrisy is when the outside does not equate with the inside. And so say it. Don't check it. I probably shouldn't say this. Is Erlina you here? My sister's here. She's worn out. She's the one who sleeps in all the sermons. She's done all the work, and she's just absolutely going to... She's worn out. But she won't mind me saying this. When Erlene was a child, Daddy was still home. And Erlene didn't get Mother alone. The time I got up, being a pretty good-sized boy, Erlene was married, for which I thanked God. But Dad was gone, had left us. And I got Mother just the two of us. I had her alone. And Erlene, because of that, never developed the expressiveness that I did with Mother. Now, Erlene has done much, much for Mother as I've ever done. She paid the bills for the family when I was 10 years old, and she worked for $10 a week, and bought herself something cost under a dollar and brought the rest of the money home and gave it to the family, and she fed us. But somehow other, it never came as easy for Erlene and Mother to Gucci goo as it did for Mother and me. But you know, now that Erlene is not as young as she used to be, she's not quite as natural in it as I am. But she does it. And Mother has gotten to hear her say, I love you. The other day Erlene said to Mother, Mother said, your son called and said, I love you. And she said, so do I. And my mother said, I love to hear that. I love to hear that. Wouldn't it be a good thing if you would go back to the place wherever you were when you started resisting it? You may have to be awkward for a while. It may not be easy for you for a while. But there's a whole world out yonder and a whole field of joy and happiness that's waiting for you if you just wouldn't let the hardening process take over. You say, preacher, I used to be that way, but I got disappointed in people. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about people. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just delivering truth to you. I don't care what my paper boy, I don't care what he's got on. I don't misunderstand me. I think you ought to have confidence, folks, but you shouldn't let that determine you. I've gotten bitter. I've been disappointed in so many people. Ever been disappointed in Jesus? Huh? Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Hell dog won't hunt. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. See? Don't let your heart get hard. Don't let the deceitfulness of sin, the circumstances of life, and all the twists of the road, and the bends of the road, and the shipwrecks along the way, don't let it keep you from seeing the rose that's blooming and the sun that's rising and the bow that's streaking across the sky and the cloud formation. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Go back where you were. How old were you? Were you 35 and you got disappointed in somebody? Go back there. Start over again. How old were you when you lost your responsiveness? The hardening process started. Were you 13 when you became a teenager and thought you shouldn't do it anymore and be nice anymore and sweet and loving? Go back there. Go back there. I don't want to miss any of it. And I don't want you to want to miss any of it. Did you ever see something and you wanted to share it with somebody? You said, boy, you know what? Let me tell you what I... And one look at them, you don't want to say anymore. Brother Colston, boy, you're going to like... No, you're not. Did you ever get that way? I feel that way sometimes. I want you to have a rich life. I want you to enjoy the whole journey. And I want you, when a thorn pricks your hand and blood starts dripping, I want you to know there's a rose right there somewhere near. It always is. What a life. Don't miss it. Our Heavenly Father, bless you.